Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster, along with Ed Alexander. Ed and I welcome you to the Buckmaster Show for this, the final Monday of March. It's March 30th, 2015. Hope you had a good weekend, despite the Wildcats losing to a Wisconsin team that I'm sure could never duplicate that kind of three-pointer.
Complete fluke.
They could never do that
again. We beat them on every statistic except three-pointers.
That's John Munger. You'll hear from John and Vince Robigo in a second here. We are all looking forward to a very good week, and we're coming to you live from AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, live streaming at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. Podcasts always available for you 24/7, all of our shows at buckmastershow.com. We will begin with the Monday political face-off. John Munger is seated to the right of me and Vince Robigo to the left. At 12:30, is this battle of the Broadway Boulevard corridor, has it finally been settled? We're going to check that out. Then we'll talk with Dr. Robert Hendricks, our education contributor. The Buckmaster Show live line is open for you at any time during the hour. The number is 790-2040, and our Facebook page is Bill Buckmaster. John Munger is a well-known Tucson attorney. He's also former chair of the Arizona Board of Regents. In 2010, John ran as a Republican for Arizona governor. And with us is Vince Robigo. Vince, also a well-known attorney here in town. He is a Democratic Party activist, former Arizona Attorney General candidate. He also ran in 2010. There must have been something in the water that year, John and Vince, for both of you to step up. But you both had a great experience doing that, didn't you?
It was a terrific experience. One of the best experiences of my life.
Sure. Made thing.
So many friends.
Absolutely. You meet a lot of people. You know, you get to travel this great state and present your vision.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about the travel. Both of you went to really the four corners, not just the four corners, but the four corners of the state.
It's a huge state. And you try to get to some places like Havasu City and places like that. I mean, it.
Peach Springs and all.
Oh, it's a trek.
What a great experience. A lifetime experience. I'm so glad I did it.
The Monday Political Face-Off, sponsored by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Moe and his family have been doing this since 1985. And when I say doing it, they do it very well. All of their picture framing, the hanging services and hanging systems. Moe will come out, he'll measure everything, and then they come back and they hang it. It's fantastic. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com, and of course they're on Facebook. The game was very disappointing, but as John said at the open there, Vince, you don't beat that kind of three-point shooting like the Badgers put up that day.
You sure don't. It was bizarre how those three-pointers just kept raining down, and they certainly destroyed our chances of going forward, of course. But we played so well. I couldn't be prouder of Sean Miller and all the players on the team.
He's a classy act, isn't he, Sean Miller?
He's a class act, and so are the team. You know, our team, they could not control us. We were cutting and slashing to the basket. They could not stop us. And the reason they were shooting three-pointers is because they couldn't get inside. You can't beat a team that's shooting that many three-pointers at a 79% average. If they'd only shot 50%, Bill, and the average is 33%, if they'd only shot 50%, we would have beat them by 7 points.
Kind of a once in a century.
It was a complete fluke. We beat them in every way except the three-pointers.
Yeah, I agree. It was a heartbreaker, though. It didn't make it any harder. But, you know, what's been great is to see, you know, the support of the community. You know, a lot of the players repeatedly say that we have the best fans here. And I agree with them. Being one of those fans, I think we have a tremendous base of community support for that program.
Maybe I'm old-fashioned, but I remember the day when the kids stayed for 4 years. I guess that's, you know, the one-and-done thing is pretty much what's happening with these stars. They come to the school for a year or two, and then they're in the NBA, and that has prompted, John Munger, the hot debate in college sports. Should we be paying these kids?
Well, we were talking about this before the show. We can all see the issues, and, you know, I'm not sure you can pay the kids enough to keep them from going to the pros. You know, I
can
see both sides.
It is a small portion of the total number of kids that play college basketball.
It's a very small portion. That's true. I don't think we're going to solve the problem in the short run, even if we pay them or let them have endorsements. I think we should certainly let them have endorsements. If the university is using their names, they ought to get paid for it. I think we ought to give them more than we're giving them. They need spending money and things like that. But you just can't match. What the pros are going to pay them, and you're not going to stop the best players from moving on as soon as possible. Maybe we need to get back to the old concept of the scholar athlete. You know, my son played tennis at Occidental. They can't give scholarships. He was a scholar athlete, and I'm very proud of him. And maybe we need to get back to that. But I think that if the really great athletes are going to have the university using their name and doing those kinds of things, these kids need to get paid for it. I just think
maybe that's the first step in solving this is the endorsement area.
Yeah, I think that's one area.
What do you think, Vince?
I am against the concept. I thought about it. It was gelling in my brain right before we came on the show. I know we talked a little bit about it.
Mm-hmm.
I think I am against it because you cannot logistically do it. Number one, where are you going to get the money from? Last year, the NCAA released a report that only 14 schools in the country were turning a net profit.
Really?
And so then, let's say, where are you going to get the money? Second, if you get the money, who are you going to pay? Do you pay everybody on the team? Do you pay select players? Third, if you do pay them, then you run smack dab into federal legal issues with Title IX with respect to women's programs. Mm-hmm. You can't just pay the men being equitable towards the women.
I think you have to be fair with them.
Exactly.
That's the beauty of endorsements. That money would not come from the university.
Uh-huh.
That would be let the kids
from Nike or whatever.
Yeah,
from
or if they want to do an ad for a commercial. We see all these ads in the basketball games.
Sure.
Let the kids do the ads and mm-hmm. make some money.
Yeah. I think now that's one viable alternative mm-hmm. that I think could be explored. I think this issue really only affects these sort of top programs. And the star players, where you have teams like Arizona, for example, and others. So it's certainly, I think that's something to consider. But I don't know that you can, I think there are just so many logistical cons when you're weighing these pros and cons. Sure, the pros are you're trying to keep them here, but you can never match up with what the NBA is going to pay. You just can't do it.
You can't do it.
You're looking at the NBA and these schools, like I said, 14 last year, only 14 turned a net profit.
I mean, right? if I had a kid who was a star basketball player and he could, after his first year in college, go off and earn a couple $3 million a year.
What are you
going to
say? Yeah.
I'm going to say, go get the money and go back to college in the meantime.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Roger would like to weigh in on this debate. Roger, hi. Hey, Roger.
Yes.
Go ahead, please.
Yes. What I was going to make a comment on is what happens when the paying extends to even down to high school level. Mm. Like you had LeBron James in high school, who was their eddiest star and never went to college. And what's the cutoff? How far do we go with paying students
I don't know.
Get educated?
It's a good point. Thanks, Roger.
That's a very valid question. Yeah. And at the end of the day, if you just step back and look at society, I love college sports. I love watching the teams. But when you look at the amazing amount of money that the pros pay and compare it to a very small select group of people, really, when you look at the mm-hmm. sheer number of athletes out there, there's something out of whack in the system in general, in terms of society, when that can happen. But I think that's a very valid point. I mean, this is about education. Colleges are about learning. They're higher institutions of learning. Same thing with high school. And that, it's a valid question. Where do you draw the line if you're going to start paying?
All right, 12:14 on the Buckmaster Show. Ed, this would be a good point to take the break, because when we come back, we're going to change subjects. This is not sports talk, but even though talking about paying kids kind of transcends just sports, it just gets into a huge economic area. But anyway, charter. Will we see any charter changes, ward-only elections? John and Vince both will be weighing in on that. You can weigh in as well. 790-2040. Be right back on the Face-Off. Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
American Openings is pleased to be a sponsor of Good News Radio Broadcasting, featuring local news and information on AM 1030 KVOI, the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ on KGMS 940 AM, positive and encouraging music on 88.1 FM K-Love, and pop classics on KCEE 690 AM. American Openings is a locally owned door and window manufacturer, concerned about our community and proud to be a partner with Good News Radio to help make our community a better place.
The Regional Transportation Authority has completed more than 570 projects to date. Our projects range from new roadway lanes to new transit services, plus new sidewalks and bike lanes. The Regional Transportation Authority also funds crosswalks for added pedestrian safety and new signal technology to keep people and goods moving. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from Emil Franzi, Phil Richardson, and other top national columnists. Plus, Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garver on movies, Rebecca Guthrie on books, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage, too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Published Mondays and Thursdays. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Hi, wouldn't you like a voice like mine talking about your business? Saying things like, thank you for calling, or press 1 for hours and directions. Well, it can. Cox Business offers Voice Manager, allowing you to get a professional voice to record your voicemail greeting. And with my voice, you'll need to warn whoever manages your lead gen data, because your customer base is about to expand. If you don't like my voice...
There's always mine.
Thank you for calling. All our customers are important to us.
How do you like that?
I think mine might be more appropriate.
You don't know that.
I can do fancy accents.
As good as this.
Make a great impression before you answer the phone. Cox Business Internet and Voice Manager is only $84 a month for the first 6 months with a 3-year agreement. Plus, get a $150 Visa prepaid card after online redemption. Bundle and save today. Visit CoxBusiness.com. Ends 5/3/15. Includes Cox Business Internet 10 and Voice Manager Essential. Excludes taxes and fees. Visit CoxBusiness.com for details. Actual speeds vary. Other restrictions apply.
A Okay, welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. It's the Monday Political Face-Off, sponsored by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge at moesgallery.com and on Facebook. Vince Robigo is with us and John Munger. We spent the first part of the face-off talking a little sports. Now we're going to talk local politics. The Charter Committee has made their recommendation. They were pretty much deadlocked, 7-7. It was a 15-member committee. I'm not quite sure what happened to the 15th member, which would have decided this, whether we would be going to change, well, to be up to the council one way or another to decide whether we're going to keep the ward-only elections, John, in the general election.
As I told you
2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago, it'll never happen. The Democrats will never give up control of the city council. They will never give up the majority rule with no rights for the minority in this town. Our rulers, I call them our rulers or the regime, likes it the way it is. They don't like any opposition, and they like controlling the whole city through their tyranny of the majority. I know I'm speaking strong language, but that's the way I feel about it. They are these people have control of this town, and they're killing it. They don't allow any dissenting views. Don't want to hear any dissenting views. If they did want to hear dissenting views, they would do two things. They would annex more areas. Unfortunately for them, all the areas that are left to annex have Republicans in them, and that's why you don't see any annexation going on. And number two, going to ward elections would probably result in one or two Republican seats, but that would mean that there was actually dissent, and they'd have to hear our point of view, and they don't want to do that.
So you're basically saying it's their way or the highway.
Their way or the highway.
Okay,
we're being run by the regime here.
The regime, Vince. What about the regime?
You know what? It's the reality is the GOP, and John has done this for years on this particular point, claims to be the aggrieved minority. And compares themselves to African Americans.
Talked about Selma, Alabama.
I haven't done that today.
Well, but you did on the internet. You were on commenting on Tim Steller's.
I didn't say a word about the
you mentioned Selma. You mentioned Selma.
Well,
this is just like Selma.
You control any minority in that way, Vince.
You mentioned Selma, Alabama.
Oh man.
Did you not mention Selma, Alabama? You did.
I did.
And what is Selma, Alabama? Selma, Alabama. Was a scenario where the state, local, and federal officials.
You're missing the
point, Vince. No, I'm not.
You're
purposely trying to demagogue and say that this is like Selma, Alabama.
It is. It's exactly the same system they use to control any minority. Doesn't matter what color they are. It's a system used to control minorities, Vince, whatever color they are.
Let me show you how it's not at all like Selma, Alabama. Back in 1961 in Selma, Alabama, there were about 130 African-American voters registered out of over 15,000. They only opened the registration office two times a month. If you tried to help African-Americans get registered to vote like teachers were trying to do, you'd get fired. Then I don't have to remind you about our friendly Concerned Citizens Councils, also referred to as the Klan, and cross burnings and violence and murders, to say and show how the whole system there was designed and intentionally, purposefully trying to discriminate against African Americans. So to me, as a citizen of this state and of this country, it is offensive to hear you compare.
I don't care whether you're offended or not.
Well, that's fine.
Let me express it. Doesn't bother me at all.
Good for you, but you know what? You're not the only one listening. The other thing is there's plenty of people out there in the audience, people in your own party, that would be offended to hear you compare ward-only elections in Tucson, Arizona, which has elected Latinos, which has elected African Americans like Chuck Ford, and to hear you compare a ward-only system here where Republicans have been elected and say that's like Selma, Alabama. It is beyond the pale, John.
All right.
And people out there are offended. I know I'm offended when you have a history of Republicans getting elected here when they're qualified, when they're moderate, and when you have good candidates.
Vince is offended, John.
Well, I don't care whether Vince is offended or not. I'm tired of this political correctness stuff. He's trying to make this a racial debate.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a racial debate. He's avoiding the point completely. The point is that the system, the political system that's used in Tucson, Arizona, is the same system that is used to control any minority. In this case, it's Republicans. And the Democrats do not want to have any Republican participation in the city council if they can. If they did want Republican participation, they would annex the foothills and some of the other areas that have too many Republicans for them. They don't want to do that. That's why we don't see the annexation.
So you're saying the annexation and they would also is very, have very selective?
It's an absolute tyranny of the majority. You have the same Democratic majority electing every representative. There is no representation by ward in the elections. Vince wants to sidestep this thing by going back to his racial claims. I'm tired of that.
You keep making them.
We're not talking about racial claims.
You keep
claims
talking
here.
About Selma we're, and being the tyranny same, of the majority.
It's the same system
used.
It is
not. It is so far from
Vince,
that.
Vince, let me finish. It's the same system used that is used to try to control any kind of minority. You can try and make this a racial issue, Vince. You can be offended all you want. I frankly don't give a rat's ass.
Well, you know, here's the irony. You know, I wasn't the one that brought up Selma repeatedly. I was not the one that have compared it to a dilution of racial minority voting. You are the ones that do that. I'm just responding and exposing for the people how far from the truth that is. Now, let's talk about those Republicans that have been elected. Let's focus on that. The Republicans are not a minority being suppressed. I seem to remember a certain council member named Laus, a certain council member named Ronstadt.
30 years ago.
Ronstadt wasn't 20 years ago. Dunbar, may I remind you?
Kathleen
Dunbar. Kozachik, and let me remind you of many term mayors, Lou Murphy, and more recently, Bob Walkup. Now, let's talk about the facts. When Kathleen Dunbar in the 2000s, so we're not talking 30 years ago, Kathleen Dunbar, Fred Ronstadt, and Bob Walkup were on the council. And then when she became an independent,
Carol West,
the Republicans effectively controlled the council. Everyone knew it. And yet the reality is the problem is
so you're
that,
saying look at history.
Look at history. This is just a crazy trying to compare it to Selma. What we need, if you want to get Republicans elected, is you need qualified candidates. Mm-hmm. This process actually requires moderation in the candidates.
Well,
and they don't want to do that.
Let me respond, Vince. The problem is you've got a system that puts Republicans at a severe disadvantage. The voters are 5-3 Democrats out there. Sure, we can every once in a while elect a Republican if we really have a really extraordinary candidate. Yeah, we maybe have a chance. But the Republicans are at a severe disadvantage by this system that we have, where the same majority elects every candidate out there, the same Democratic majority. Sure. You can every once in a while elect a Republican, and that's what the record shows, every once in a while. But the system is rigged to consistently, over a period of years, elect heavily majority Democratic majorities. And that's the way the system is. You can argue about it. You can be offended about it. You can try and sidetrack the issue onto racial issues. That's not what it's about. It's political rigging.
And you can register as many Republicans as you want and overcome that advantage if you want to.
And you could.
And you don't. And, that's the problem. And, yet you want to claim Selma, Alabama every time you talk about it.
Let me ask you this, Vince. How would you feel if we had a system in the state of Arizona where all the legislative districts were elected in the same way? So we took the Republican majority in the state of Arizona and said there's no longer districts. And we're going to let the same Republican majority throughout the state of Arizona elect all the representatives to the legislature. Mm-hmm. So that you now have the Republicans from Phoenix electing representatives in southern Arizona. How would you feel about that? Let's do that. How do you like that idea?
You know,
I'm
John,
sure
you
love it.
John, that's not even close
it's
to what
exactly
we have here.
The
it
same,
is absolutely not.
It's the same
you're,
thing.
You're saying a state legislature is the equivalent of a city council?
Yeah.
Good
it's
gosh.
It's very
you see,
similar.
Your reach is
very similar.
For logic
I think we
fall
ought to
by
go,
several
if
steps.
If they love
good
the system
gosh.
So much, I think we ought to go to a system where the Overall majority in the state, which is Republican, statewide elects all of the legislative districts.
Whoa.
You know, here's the thing. John and the GOP on this issue, they like to overreach and claim racial discrimination. They want to bring vestiges of Selma. And then when they lose on the facts, then they start to make these outlandish comparisons like a city council is the same as a state legislature.
It's a representative board.
You know what? They're so far out there, it doesn't work.
It's a representative board.
Guys, we're going to have to go. But Jim, I think we can possibly work in Jim Kelly. Jim, you'll have to make it very, very quick, please, Jim. Hey, Jim. Hi,
Jim. I want to remind Vince Robago that Harvey Milk lost the Castro district 3 times until San Francisco went to a ward-only election, and the gay district of Castro was finally able to have representation on that board. So just letting you know that you're not only disenfranchising Republicans, you just might be disenfranchising other minority groups that would like to have more representation in the city of Tucson. Thank you. I just wanted to remind you of that.
Okay, Jim. Matthew, real quickly, I'll give you 10 seconds. Hey, Matthew, 10 seconds.
Well, I would just encourage John that he's got to run Republicans, and until he does, his argument doesn't fly. But I get what he's saying. Thank you. Bye.
Yeah, why would a Republican run if you've got those kinds of odds against you? Why would you ever run? Why would you spend the money?
All right.
You got to have
That's
a fair system
things.
For people.
You got to register voters and run them. That's it. If you don't run any qualified candidates, you're going to keep getting the same results.
Let's do it statewide.
Okay, guys. Thank you very much for a very spirited discussion. It always is when you two sit down at the face-off table. Brought to you by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com and on Facebook. Check it out. Moe and his family. Wow, what a great job they do since 1985. The place for your custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and a picture framing and hanging services and hanging systems. 12:31 on the Buckmaster Show Monday. We'll be right back.
Honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary works to end the senseless abuse of horses and burros so these noble creatures can live free of pain and suffering. Its ranch in Amato is home to dozens of rescued equines who receive special care as they await new, loving homes. Won't you help? Visit equinevoices.org. Equine Voices, a voice for all equines who cannot speak for themselves.
Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. We push toward 12:35 on this Monday afternoon. My name is Bill Buckmaster, and with me is Margo Garcia. Margo has been very active in this whole kind of, I call it the Battle of Broadway, the Broadway corridor. Name. What are we going to do with the Broadway corridor? Margo has been real active with a group called the Broadway Coalition. Margo, the decision that was made with the task force, they had had, I believe, about 35 public meetings since June of 2012.
Right.
They made a unanimous decision on Thursday night to recommend a six-lane Broadway, including transit alignment. This will go to the mayor and the council in May. What's your reaction to what happened?
Well, we're very pleased and very excited about what the Citizen Task Force took forward, because finally they began to really focus in, as we'd been advocating for over 2 years or closer to 3 years. And we, the Broadway Coalition, represent 19 neighborhoods, businesses all up and down the Broadway corridor, and several hundred citizens from throughout the community. And what we've been saying is that Broadway is a really important place. It has a sense of place. It has these wonderful mid-century modern business areas that you can't find replicated almost any other place in the United States, in the sense that we have whole blocks of them. Mm-hmm. And these are extremely valuable assets for our tourism and for our small local businesses. You know, those people were really smart in the 1950s and 60s because they built little stores where businesses could start up. Mm-hmm. And here we are creating something called startups, and, you know, buildings where startups can come. They already were doing that 60 years ago. And so they have it was a time when the architecture was changing and how people were building was changing. And it was such a time of optimism. You know, everything was going to be so much better after that terrible war. And here we have tremendous examples of that.
Will we have to move any of these buildings or destroy any of them?
Our hope, our goal is no destruction, no taking down any of the historic buildings. There are two small homes on the south side near Campbell, which are really hard to see how we can preserve them where we are. We're hoping that maybe they can be moved. But the others that are there, including some really well-known buildings that were created, for instance, there was a woman, Anne Risdale, who was the only woman architect in the 1950s to be licensed, and she has two or three buildings, the Haas building, the one that's now called Solar Powered Offices, mm-hmm. which is right near Campbell. And on the other side, we have the Continental building. We have a beautiful little building in the Solat Plaza called It's a Blast, and it's by Nicholas Sokolar. And the way the sides come out and the roof cantilevers over, and there's a hole for the iconic palm tree to extend through the roof up into the top, advertising this lovely building.
Well, you live in the area.
I do. I do live in the area. I use it all the time. Mm-hmm. We like to be able to walk to mm-hmm. the Sushi Gardens for dinner or Hersh's Shoe Store. These are businesses that are supported by the neighborhoods. In fact, we like to talk about the synergy, the way that it creates this wonderful place to go to. Austin's, a wonderful ice cream store for many years, was there in Broadway shopping center.
Yeah.
And you know what? I don't know what happened, but they decided to move, and they moved across the street from mm-hmm. Park Place.
Yeah.
Within 1 year, they were gone.
Yeah, it wasn't the same, was it?
It wasn't the same.
So is this a win-win, Margo, for everybody, you think, so far?
I hope so. That's what we're working hard for. We think that the six lanes can be done within a narrow enough right-of-way so mm-hmm. that we don't have to take out the buildings. The area desperately does need sidewalks. It doesn't have sidewalks the whole way. Sometimes you're in the dirt, sometimes you're on asphalt. But it needs to be done carefully, and it needs to be done block by block by block. We have Miles School there. It would make no sense to come in, as was originally suggested, to come in and cut down some of their trees in order to put landscaping. I mean, come on, give me a break. They have beautiful mature trees. Let's leave them there and just, you know, keep the sidewalk the way it is.
Some, and I know you hear this every day when you talk about this, people say, why are we doing anything?
It is a tough question to answer, and because
but you did say we have to have the sidewalks.
I think the sidewalks are something that really makes it compelling. But when you look at the actual traffic counts, when this was being proposed back in the 1987, when the plan was first put forward for this, they were projecting as many as 56,000 vehicles per day. And these are numbers I'm taking from PAG's own projection, the Pima Association of Governments. Today, we're running at about 34,000 vehicles per day, way down, about half of what it was. And even that is a decrease over the last 8-9 years, which follows a national trend. You know, our young people, the millennials, just aren't driving the way we used to. I'm of an age when I turned 16, boy, I was down there for my license that very day.
Yeah, cars were pretty much, cars were everything.
Everything, yeah, but certainly. That's not the way it is today. Mm. I have nieces who are in their 30s and just starting to talk about getting licenses. we see people who are, you know, just not interested, or they're too expensive between the car and the insurance and the gasoline and all that and the parking. I mean, it becomes a major expense. And so they're opting to use bicycles and transit and walking and even social media. They can keep up with their friends by just texting them. They don't have to actually go and see them.
What's next for this now? What's the next?
Well, the next step that we have is there will be a public hearing in April. I believe it's April 26th. It's a Thursday. It'll be down by the Sabre Temple Center. I'm not saying that right. The Sabre Shriners Center on South Tucson Boulevard. And hopefully they'll have all of these alignments out there. And then the plan is for the 19th of May for this to go before the mayor and council for their final approval. Well, it's a pretty much final approval because until they sit down and draw the line and start the actual construction drawings, it can change. Then it will go before the 25th of June, I believe it is, to the RTA board. And that then will start releasing more money for the construction drawings and also to begin really looking seriously at the acquisitions, or what we hope won't be any acquisitions. You know, one thing is, by not taking so many buildings and so much property, it's going to save money.
Oh, really?
Because the way it is now, the whole project was $74 million.
What's that going to knock it down to then?
Well, we don't know what it'll walk... what it'll knock it down to, but the big thing that it will do is that anything over the $72 million or the $42 million promised by RTA and the $25 million coming from the county 97 bonds, anything over that has to be paid by the city of Tucson, and their estimate's as high as $20 million. Now, where are we going to get $20 million? We can't even fix the potholes today.
Margo, let's take a quick call here before I let you go. Steve is would like to weigh in. Go ahead, Steve.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Steve.
Hey. Hi, how are you? So my perspective is seeing that the Broadway expansion is optimized for future city growth. So I wanted to make the quick point that Broadway is a major arterial road leading directly into downtown, that the expansion's western border is literally a block shy of the south connection of downtown links, and that Plan 2013 Tucson's Future Growth Scenarios Map has identified this area as a potential new part of future downtown Tucson. So I was happy to hear the conversation, and it's definitely refreshing to hear that alongside caution, the community has also been supportive for the future capacity needs for the future of the city.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Steve.
Yeah, and there is talk about how it is an extension of the downtown, and we were meeting with Michael Keith the other morning, and he had this vision of people coming into the downtown, getting a bicycle, going down under the underpass, going along Broadway, stopping at some coffee shops, looking at some of the kinds of other shops that are there, say at Deco or at Yikes Toys or Russell's New Modernism, a wonderful furniture store. All of those kinds of things would be there for people to stop and enjoy.
Yeah, kind of an extension of downtown.
Yep.
Margo, I'm going to have to wrap it up, but yep. Thank you very much. It was very serendipitous to bring you in today after that action was taken last week. And it does show that when everybody gets together, we can do this thing right, can't we?
I think so. I think it'll be a real win-win for our community as a whole in terms of economic development and preserving our wonderful culture.
Thank you, Margo. Margo Garcia from the Broadway Coalition. This portion of the Buckmaster Show presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. If you're into bicycling, and a lot of people are here in Tucson, New Mexico's international five-day stage race in a gorgeous mountain setting. It's the Tour of the Gila over in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. It's April 29th through May 3rd. Just one of the many activities coming up. They've got the Big Blues Festival over the Memorial Day weekend. You can find out about all the activities at southwestnewmexico.org. That's the place to visit. Find out about all the great places to stay, like Gila Hot Springs Ranch and Bear Creek Cabins. Again, southwestnewmexico.org. We'll be right back. Water, our most precious resource. Without it, living here in Tucson and the rest of the desert Southwest would not be possible. Where does our water come from? How can we use it more sustainably? At the University of Arizona Biosphere 2, we study the interplay of rain, climate, and landscape. Dive into the ways we use water this April for Earth Month activities at Biosphere 2 and find us online at biosphere2.org.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
The Rug Gallery's extensive collection of new and antique rugs has earned an international reputation and has been featured on the cover of Christie's magazine, as well as many of the world's most respected carpet and textile publications. The Rug Gallery thanks Tucson for their support over the past 27 years as the place to see fine Persian and top quality imported and antique rugs at competitive, affordable prices. With its huge selection of hand-woven rugs from around the globe, the Rug Gallery has rugs just right for your home or the largest palace. The Rug Gallery is located in the Jostler Center at the northwest corner of River and Campbell and on the web at ruggalleryaz.com. Also, look for us on Facebook. Call 571-RUGS. That's 571-7847.
Honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Sunlink Streetcar, Sun Shuttle, Twin Peaks Interchange, Valencia Road, Houghton Road, Saharita Road, McGee Road. Just a few examples of projects funded through the Regional Transportation Authority. Since voter approval of the RTA plan in 2006, the RTA and its member jurisdictions have completed more than 570 projects to make our transportation network safer and less congested. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Bill Buckmaster coming up Tuesday on The Buckmaster Show, the Tuesday Moneymaker Report with Shelley Fishman, certified financial planner, plus a capital update. We'll talk to Victoria Steele, state representative. We'll talk to her from the state capitol. Buckmaster, noon to one, each weekday on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. We live stream for your anywhere in the world listening at buckmastershow.com.
Coming up on 10 minutes to 1 on the Buckmaster Show. Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, live streaming at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. The Arizona Daily Star yesterday, their lead editorial, Governor Doug Ducey and the Arizona legislature have both increased the state K-12 education budget and continued to significantly cut it, leaving it mind-boggling difficult to decipher. We're going to talk a little bit about that now with our education contributor, Dr. Robert Hendricks, professor emeritus at the University of Arizona College of Education. He is the former superintendent of the Flowing Wells School District. And Dr. Hendricks is a one-time Arizona top school superintendent, and we're always glad to have him with us. How are you?
Happy to be here, Bill.
The funding formula for Arizona's education is really something out of the dark ages, isn't it?
It really is. You know, it was developed in a systematic way with a lot of effort in the late 70s, and we've tinkered around the edges with it over the years, but really has not been any major overhaul of the system, and is badly needed.
The budget, we hear so much about it's bad for education. Well, generally speaking, what did you think of this budget for Arizona?
Well, it's fuzzy math, actually, because you see the state trying to satisfy a court ruling, which is a result of the Proposition 301, which is really, as the AEA, Arizona Education Association, says, is kind of a beginning start to contributing that money that is owed to the education system. However, at the same time, the legislature has taken some money away, and what they've taken away are what's called assistance dollars, which used to be the old capital levy fund. And this is the money to support operations and technology and the maintenance of buildings and textbooks and all of those hard areas of the budget, you know, outside of the salary line, which are necessary for schools to operate.
So when Governor Ducey says more money is being spent on education than ever before, it's a certain spin that he's putting on it.
Oh, it's definitely a spin. I mean, the facts really are not refutable. He simply has... He's given some money out of one pocket, and he's taken money out of another pocket. And one of the things that the editorial did not mention is that when you look at the greater scheme of things, our state actually is contributing even less to education this year compared to other states as we have in the past. You know, depending on what report you read, you know, we're 47th, we're 48th. Some reports even say 49th. I mean, it's conceivable that we could get the prize this year, being very cynical, of being number 50.
The critics continue to say that classroom spending, though, are percentages, too much goes to administrators.
You know, that's just simply not true,
okay.
Bill. And right. I think if you looked at the governor's financial report, you know, he acknowledges the fact, or his agency acknowledges the fact, that our costs in the administrative component are less than the national average.
But there is this perception that very little is going to the spending of classrooms.
It's an easy perception. It also, gets down to what's the working definition of administration. And remember, administration is more than just principals or assistant principals. It's counselors, it's psychologists, it's support staff, technical assistants, librarians. You know, all of those
all
people
of the things
are in that
you need
category.
To run a school, right?
Correct. Okay. Correct.
Dave would like to join the conversation. Dave is calling us at 790-2040 on our live line. Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, I don't have a question, but I want to bring up the point that the legislature has prohibited schools from charging impact fees, and there's a lot of growth in Marana. In Marana schools, they can't charge impact fees, so they have to go to the taxpayers. My taxes have just exploded in recent years, and I've called my legislature about this and asked them to repeal it, but nothing is done.
Dave, you make a really good point. I think it's going to be even more and more difficult to access those kinds of fees, and also I think bond elections, override elections, some of the language that's being put in or being proposed to be put in by the legislatures going to be more and more difficult for districts to pass those kinds of initiatives, even if the public supports them.
Okay, thank you, Dave, for that. The message that is sent to others in that look at Arizona for economic development, this does not help in the portfolio when you go to try to sell Arizona.
No, it doesn't bode well. And there really are a lot of things that need to be fixed in the formula, and not just quick fixes. For example, I just sort of went through a laundry list of things that really have changed since the late 70s. And one of the major things is funding for special education. It's no secret that traditional public schools have most of the services for special education students. And yet the funding formula, which is really identified as Group B, is woefully inadequate to support those services.
Even though that is a mandate of public education.
Even though it's a mandate. So how does that happen? Mm-hmm. The district has to take money out of their general operating fund to shore up those services and provide them. And so that's one of the areas that really needs to be addressed. Again, it was addressed in the 70s, but things have changed radically. Another thing has changed, and you can just look at your own household budget, is utility costs. And the formula really does not account for today's current funding for utilities, health care insurance costs, district contribution to employee state retirement. In the 70s, that was less than 3%. Now it's 12%. And yet the formula doesn't account for that. And then we have costs for security, mm-hmm. which is never an issue on school campuses in the late 70s, and technology costs, which were, of course, not even a thing that was even in consideration at that time. So we have all of these additional costs that really are not reflected in the current formula.
So maybe we need a real strong conversation with the lawmakers, everybody at the state level, about redoing this formula.
We do, but I'm discouraged because I don't really think there's going to be much of a momentum to do that, because what it's going to mean, inevitable, what it's going to mean is any new formula is going to bring new costs.
Mm-hmm.
And this legislature does not seem to be disposed towards adding any more costs to the budget.
It was almost unprecedented, wasn't it? You as a former school superintendent, it must have warmed your heart to see just about every superintendent from Southern Arizona joining forces, urging the legislature to put more money into education. Have you ever seen a show of force like that?
I have not. And I think, the momentum behind that was the fact that school districts really felt pressed, not having any flexibility with the money. And the governor essentially had said, you will take, we're going to reduce your budget, but what we give you, we're going to force your hand to put into certain categories of expenditures. And districts like to have that flexibility. And I think districts, by and large, use their money extremely well, extremely efficiently, and to be able to say, to be mandated to use it a certain way. And I was glad that the governor responded to that and through the legislature, and that they lifted that particular ban.
All right. Dr. Robert Hendricks joins us once a month. We talk about education. Bob, thank you very much. We didn't get a chance to talk about Common Core. The governor ran against Common Core, but now he says at least let's let the Board of Education maybe take another look at it.
And I'm glad of that.
Yeah, so you're happy with that news?
I am.
Okay. Thank you, Bob. If you're looking for a great auto mechanic, Mike Emery and his team at Perfection Auto Works, they would gladly perform a 26-point auto inspection free of charge at Perfection Auto Works, Midtown location, just one block south of Speedway on North Beverly, 323-8650, foreign or domestic automobiles. That's their specialties, perfectionautoworks.com. This afternoon, Mike Shaw has his local talk show. We hope you'll listen. Ray Allen producing that from 4 to 5 this afternoon. Wake Up Tucson. Chris and Joe, and then that's 6 to 8. Then Daily Double with Christy Simone, 8 to 9. I'll be back with Ed Alexander spinning the dials for us on the Buckmaster Show at 12:04. Till then, have a great afternoon and evening.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.